Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you looked at this morning's email with the order of worship, you'll notice that it says, I am preaching on James and Isaiah and Mark. I normally do not do that, but I'm going to do that for two reasons. One is I want to explore the interconnections between the different passages of the lectionary. And second, I want to talk a little about the epistles. So what's going on here? Anyone want to give me an answer? Okay. We're going to start with Mark. And remember, Mark was not written with Jesus' actions taking place in real time. It was written after the fact. Now, we believe it was the first of the Gospels to be written down, but still, all of these things had happened long ago, and Jesus was gone, and now people are remembering the stories. So when it says Jesus said something, it means that somebody remembered Jesus saying something like. So if you have a red letter Bible, and that's the one that shows all of Jesus' words in red print, I've got bad news for you. Those red letters are not really telling you that Jesus said those things. We do not know exactly what words Jesus uttered. No one was walking around with a video camera taping Jesus. No one had a dictaphone. No one had a tape recorder. And yes, I'm talking about old technology here. But nobody had a way to record what Jesus was saying. Which brings us back to this comment about the dog. I don't think Jesus would say something like that. Not because I think Jesus was perfect, but I think Jesus had a better sense of control, and Jesus had a pretty good filter. But I cannot tell you that Jesus did not say that. Whether it was Jesus being short-tempered, or whether it was Mark writing from his community, speaking negatively about another community, I don't know. But I would like to posit that we say that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. Now think about that. I believe that is true. I believe that is critical to our understanding of the gospel. But what does it mean to be fully human and fully divine? There's some cognitive dissonance going on there. Because Jesus wasn't some sort of first century Einstein wandering around who knew everything. Jesus could not have built an airplane. Jesus could not have done higher mathematics as we know them today. And that doesn't make Jesus any less impressive. Because Jesus, being fully human, had to experience our limitations. But Jesus was fully divine. Jesus cared about his neighbors. And yes, I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again. But there's only so much of the gospel I can preach on every single week. And the messages need to be proclaimed over and over and over again. God loves us, each and every one of us. And God does not care whether we're Jewish or whether we're Syrophoenician or some other nationality. God doesn't care whether we're tall or short, or whether we can sing or not sing. God loves us. But God is calling us to do some things. And we see here from this passage that God is calling on us to care for one another. So Matthew tells a story a little bit differently. And there he tells a Syrophoenician woman who has pretty much said the same thing to him, that her faith had cured her daughter. Mark just says, your words have done the trick. Now think about that. The Syrophoenicians were not Jews. They were not part of the Jewish community. They did not worship the God of Israel. But there were Jews who lived up on the coast around Tyre. And the Jews who lived up there were by and large peasants. Now you might have a romantic vision of what being a peasant was like. Let me be blunt. Being a peasant, pardon my language, sucked. There was nothing fun about living on an ancient farm. It was hard work. And it might have been, and Mark may have been reflecting this in the gospel, that there were tensions between the Jews and the people of Tyre. And it might have been that Mark had Jesus identify with the Jews, because Mark wrote from within the Jewish community. We don't know. But we do know that Jesus had trouble, issues, with the notion of there being some universal power that was going to bring peace to all the world that was not God. So Jesus took the Romans' claim of being that power and set it aside and said, that's not the way things work. Now, for a moment, think about yourselves as Romans, which is not that hard to do, because we Americans, in many ways, play the same roles that the Romans did back 2,000 years ago. What was once known as the Pax Romana is now known as the Pax Americana. We talk about ourselves as being the indispensable nation. We talk about ourselves as being the country that keeps the international system afloat and working. And there may be people who do not like us. But that does not mean that we should not like them. Everybody, every single person on this earth is God's child. There are no exceptions. Yes, there may be some bad apples out there. And there may be some that God would like to return to the store. But God still loves each and every one of us. So now let's turn to Isaiah. Did you notice something in that? In the reading that Betsy shared with us earlier? The eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. That's what happened later in the gospel reading when Jesus healed the deaf mute man. Mark is showing how Jesus was a fulfillment of prophecy, that the promises of God were true. Think about that. But how do we respond to that good news? What do we do? Well, I'm part of the religious industrial complex, so I'll tell you that you should come to church on Sundays. You should sing with one another and pray together. But Jesus tells us we need to do more than that. Jesus tells us we need to serve one another, that we need to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to care for the prisoner. If you were listening during the call to worship, you may have heard these words: who keeps faith forever, who executes justice to the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. That is a claim made about the God of Israel. And it is a claim that we, God's people, are supposed to help fulfill. We feed the hungry. We bring justice to those without justice. Now, you may recall, if you've ever known this, that Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, the reason we're here in this church and we're not over at the Catholic Church, had some strong opinions. Luther did not like James, the book of James. He was very dismissive of it. He referred to it as being straw. But more, Luther had no issues with the notion that there were works we could do to earn God's favor. Luther taught that grace alone gains us salvation. And we Protestants have happily followed Luther's tune for 500 years. But there have been times when we thought, well, maybe he was wrong. And our denomination is a good example of that. Our denomination seems to be really focused on doing good works. Now, I think it is important for us to do good works. I think our serving the hungry and standing with the people on the margins of society is part of the way we show our gratefulness to God. So think about that. How do you show your gratitude to God? Do you just whistle a happy tune? Saying, I'm saved, it's okay, it's all me. Or do you want to act on that notion? So as I mentioned earlier, we're going to have a community dinner in a couple of weeks. And we have no idea as to who is going to show up. And frankly, the construction project is not our friend. I used to say COVID was not our friend, but now it's the construction project is not our friend. But I am almost willing to bet large sums of money that people will still find themselves here for a hot meal and some fellowship and a friendly smile and no judgment. That is what the church is supposed to do. That is what we're called to do. And this is where I'm willing to say, Martin Luther, you're a really smart guy, but you did not know everything. So I hope this has made things a little bit clearer for you, that you've at least taken something away from this exploration of the epistle and the Hebrew Bible and the gospel. But the word now about the epistle. I'm going to spend some time over this coming year exploring the letters in the gospel. And I'll preach on them. Because they're really important. Why?
I haven't been to church.
Why are they so important? Well, I could give the obvious answer. If I can find it. They're in our Bible. Early church councils decided that those letters should be included in the corpus of holy works. They're included in the sacred scripture of the church. But what do the epistles say? Who wrote them? Why were they written? And what do they try to communicate? And as we'll see, there's a lot of good theology in them. There's a lot of good advice to churches. And there are also some claims that are questionable. So when we look at Timothy, this is a spoiler alert, he says things about women's involvement in the church community that are not pleasant to us today. And people have said in that letter that Paul had said that, and that Paul was anti-female, which seems to make no sense given Paul's other writings. So we'll talk about how that was probably an editorial addition, an interpolation, that some people with some fairly retrograde views, which existed 2,000 years ago, not just in the present, decided to put into scripture. But this is stuff we need to know and understand. Paul was a great towering figure in the church. I dare say Paul was smarter than any of us when it came to matters of scripture. But Paul was a person, fallible, just like you and me, And if you read the letters, you'll probably understand why I think it's a good thing that Paul did not have a smartphone. Because Paul on social media would have been a disaster. He wouldn't have talked to anybody because he would have spent all of his time posting on Twitter and Facebook. But what does that have to do with us today in 2024? We need to have a nuanced understanding of Scripture because the words of the Bible are sacred to us. We believe they're holy, but they were not all uttered by God. The letters of Paul were written by Paul to churches he was helping. One person helping other people. And guess what? Paul could be wrong. Now, I am not going to argue that we should set Paul aside. Not in any way, shape, or form. But I do think we need to distinguish between words that are divine, actually communicated from God, and words that we humans have stated and uttered. Does that sound okay to you? Because that's what you're going to get. And I'd love to hear from you as I preach on this over the coming year. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of Scripture, for the words of the Bible, the epistles of Paul, for the Acts of the Apostles, and all the other many wonderful things in that text. We thank you for the witness of the faithful throughout the years, and we hope that our actions can be an inspiration to future generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.